Hey there, Elizabeth.
Hey, Sheila. So we've been friends for what, nearly 14 years now?
I think about that. Yeah, although we've been really good friends for about half of that, but that's kind of a part of our story, isn't it?
It is. Well, at least for now, we're really good friends in large part because we've learned to be honest with each other. But it's not always perfect. Nevertheless, we're learning a lot by being imperfectly honest and thought you might too.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved. Hey there.
Hey.
Yikes, this is like our first episode.
Here we are. We talked a lot about what we were comfortable sharing on this podcast, and I felt like we were in sync. But a few days ago, I had a conversation with a friend, and I really respect her opinion. And she told me that she's nervous that I'm going to deeply regret the things that I'm thinking I'm going to share on this podcast. And she doesn't think I'm going to regret it right away, but she's nervous that I'm going to regret it maybe 5 years from now. And this kind of shook my confidence. So I'm curious, Sheila, have you had any more reservations about sharing the things that we talked about?
I have not. I did express what my reservations were when we first started talking about it, mostly. They were centering around if I have any parts where I'm bringing in things that involve other people who have been in my life. And I'm feeling like some snippets of their lives may be touched on. And I just have thought about it a lot. And I really, given I've had the heads up in my own head about it, I know I can be respectful. I know I'm going to be careful. So that's really kind of the only thing for me that caused a bit of concern. But part of that could also be we are separated by about 20 years. I just feel like what I'm looking ahead for, I don't know that I'm going to get to a point where anything I say now is going to be something I'm going to regret. I figure, I've kind of lived a lot and I've said a lot, and I don't know. I don't know who in the future at this point is going to be looking at me going, whoa, why did she say that? We're going to cancel her now. I just don't think that's going to happen. So, but that's where we are in our lives. So yeah, I'm good, but I will also try to be careful in terms of the fact that you may be feeling that.
Well, thank you. And I'm not sure I really am feeling it. I had this experience about 6 months ago where I did share too much and in a way that backfired beautifully. And I learned a lot from that process. I don't know that I would have changed it because it made it hard in the short term to work through that. But in the long term, I actually strengthened my relationships with the people that I overshared with. And I just learned so much in that process that I don't think I would have learned if I wouldn't have made that mistake.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like if it's coming from a place of authenticity and honesty and kindness, then I don't know that you would ever regret anything.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
So what do you feel most nervous about with actually recording these conversations?
Well, just getting the technical logistics going. Not my forte, as you well knew from the time way back when we first met and we were doing work together. That's continued and will probably always continue. I just don't have that piece of my brain that adapts that well to it. But this is easy. I'm walking, you're walking, we're just talking. And then just, you know I'm not going to like how I sound, because whenever I've listened to recordings, it's like, that's my voice? No. You know, so yeah, but that's just vanity.
Well, yeah, I haven't heard a single person say that they like listening to themselves. So
yeah.
And I'm not worried about the technical issues, because I feel like we can outsource that. And I also, you know, you mentioned that you were walking, and Sheila and I started our relationship by walking in person. And one of the things that we share is that we both have better conversations and enjoy conversations more when we move. And so now mm-hmm. that we can't walk together, Sheila walks around her apartment while she talks, and I fold laundry while
I talk. Always multitasking.
And I guess the thing that I'm most nervous about is that I'm nervous that we're going to lose that level of perfection that we might be able to achieve by sitting and having specific podcast equipment so that we can make the audio quality the best. But I guess mm-hmm. I'm hopeful that the rest of what will come out of this, which is us being the best that we can be, will mm-hmm. will make up for that small compromise on quality.
Mm-hmm. Which will not be perfection. I did have right. to note that, because we have had conversations about your recognition that that's one of the things that is a challenge for you, wanting to be perfect. And there is no perfect.
Yeah.
So, yep. I just needed to call you out on that one.
Thank you. And, you know, I'm a little surprised to hear your lack of reservations, in part because of the Sheila that I knew prior to what we've coined as our friendship intermission. Mm-hmm. And first, I want to out that I actually didn't come up with the term intermission. Yesterday when we were talking, you said, oh, I love that term. And we were just kind of moving through, and I kind of took credit for it unintentionally. But so I just want to out that I did not come up with that. It was actually a term coined by my dear friend Gina when I had an intermission with my husband, Derek. And I was thinking about the analogies to that yesterday. Mm-hmm. Sheila loves analogies. So Derek and I had been dating for maybe like 5 years, and I was ready to make a commitment and wanted him to either commit or I wanted to move on. And I was certain when I said that he was going to say, oh, I'm ready to commit, let's move on. And he didn't. He said, I really feel unsure. And he wanted to take a month to take a break, to think about it. That was really hard for me, because I felt so sure that I was ready to make a commitment. You know, I really, it was out of my control. So I agreed to that month. And after about 2 weeks went by, I started to think, like, you know, maybe there are some things that aren't quite right about this relationship. And maybe I am actually getting the opportunity to find myself and having this time to reflect solo.
Yeah.
And then he came back after about 2 weeks and said, I don't need a month. I feel 100% sure. And I hesitated to feel 100% sure. But then I decided that it felt right in many ways, and that I should just make the jump. And mm-hmm. As you know, Sheila, my husband and I decided to separate about 3 months ago. And I keep thinking back to that moment and wondering if there was something that intermission was telling me that maybe it took me 20 years to listen to.
Well, but I mean, you know my opinion on that, having been married myself for about 15 years and not regretting it one bit. I certainly wouldn't be thinking or saying, gee, yeah, that was a fork in the road you shouldn't have taken. I mean, you took that fork and you had 20 years.
Yeah.
But the other thing I want to say to add some levity, you do realize there's actually a show on television like that does that. Because there's reality shows for anything. It's called The Ultimatum. And so one person in a relationship gives the other person the ultimatum. They all gather, there's a bunch of them, and then they actually date other people during the ultimatum period. So it's one of these guilty pleasures that every now and then I watch because it's just totally mindless. And although it's an exercise in human nature, so I get that part out. I feel like I'm just watching, analyzing behavior. But as you were outlining it, I'm like, wow, that's that show.
Well, Sheila, I can always count on you to fill me in on reality TV. Oh. So thank you.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I, in all seriousness, I don't regret a single moment of my relationship with my husband. He's a wonderful person. I have deep respect and admiration for him. And we had a great 20 years together. Yep. I think what I learned in that is that one, sometimes it's worth taking the jump, even if it's not the quote unquote perfect decision. And sometimes when you fail to listen to that voice in your gut, that even though everything on paper looks perfect, it just doesn't feel right, that sometimes that's telling you something. And I think that my gut was telling me something in that moment. And I'm glad I didn't fully listen to it. And it's good information for the future.
I agree.
But in general, I think that I've regretted the risks that I haven't taken versus the risks that I have taken in life. And so I hope that this plans out that way. But going back to my original point, I'm kind of surprised that you have as few reservations as you do, just because I think, one of your best qualities is being able to look forward and see all of the pitfalls that may happen. You know, historically in our friendship, I feel like that's a role that you've played. And I guess I'm surprised that you're not playing more of that role in this situation.
Well, as I think I've acknowledged that, yes, I appreciate you saying that. And I do value that part of me. It served me in a lot of different ways as a mom. It served me as when I was practicing law, but it also is maybe one of my more challenging personality traits, because sometimes it can paralyze you to look ahead and come up with so many plan B through Z of what could happen and what you should do, to the point where you just can't be in the moment experiencing it and just allowing yourself to enjoy it, really. So I think I'm trying to be a little bit more like that, because you can't look ahead and come up with everything. And if you did, again, I don't know that any of us would be able to get out of bed in the morning.
Right. Well, do you think part of that is from the experience that you've had recently?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I was going to interject that. Yeah. I mean, I alluded to it in the intro, cancer. Yes. I was diagnosed with breast cancer last fall. It's going to be almost a year, and happily they got it early, and hopefully everything's working out okay. But it was the first time in my life I had faced, happily, I've been very healthy, a medical emergency that I approached with the idea, as I'd approached all the others, oh, I'm really scared about this, but it'll be okay. And then this was not okay. Mm. And so it was one of those situations where I looked ahead at all the worst case scenarios, and a few of them came true. And that kind of stopped me in my boots a little bit. But I think what it did is I got through it. And I realized, for all my catastrophizing, as I call it, I was able to deal with it. And so I think that probably gave me more courage than I had before that experience. I don't know if that explains the difference, but yeah, I agree. I'm somewhat different in a few different ways.
What other ways do you feel that you're different?
Definitely, and this is kind of along the same lines of what we're trying to do here, communication wise with people who are in my life in whatever the people I really love and care about, people who just come into my life just randomly, etc. Pay more attention to how I'm interacting with them. The fact that I need to listen more, maybe. The fact that I also need to understand that they're not in my head and I'm not in their head, kind of thing. And so I feel as if that's kind of how the journey we've had. We've acknowledged that we probably, that may have been one of our biggest failings or challenges, whatever, especially toward the end of leading up to our intermission, that we weren't communicating very well because we were each just doing our thing without really listening and engaging in terms of what it was we needed to hear from the other person. Yeah. And for me, it's kind of because given my age, I've been doing a lot of introspection. We tend to do that as we age, and you go back and you try to discover the person that you were before. And it's kind of coincidentally, I was a communication major in college. Mm-hmm. And then I veered into the law. So it's like I'm going back to my roots a little bit here.
Yeah. For me, I think the biggest change that I've made is that I've just found my backbone. I've tried so hard to be the person I thought that I should be that I literally redirected the shape of my spine, which is a story for another day.
Which is pretty amazing when it comes right down to it. When you told me that, it was like, wow, you've got kind of mind power going on there.
Yeah. So, you know, luckily I think that this is something I can correct with physical therapy and such, but it's this constant reminder of the cost of trying to fit your square self into a round hole. And I think I've become a lot, well, one, I'm a lot more clear on who I am as a person, but also just a lot more willing to be honest. Are there other things that you see in me that as pre versus post intermission, Elizabeth?
I guess a few. As the things that you've explained about yourself, that you're taking more care in terms of why you're doing things and taking better care of your health, et cetera. Maybe just not trying to achieve a level of perfection that is not attainable. Maybe acknowledging it isn't attainable and you're still striving. You're still trying to do the very, very, very best you can. I can see that. But letting go of the concept that maybe you're going to make mistakes and that's okay. Yeah. They actually may learn more from the mistakes and allowing other people to make them too, and maybe not getting as frustrated when that happens.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anything that you think that I've changed for the worse?
Now you're really trying to pin me down. No, I think we've been having a pretty good ride so far. So I'll get back to you on that one if it comes up. But and you know, we should share. We have not seen each other that the time since the intermission, which was 2014. So we've been having a lot of intense conversations on the phone, but I look forward to at some point being in the same time zone and face to face, because I think I would enjoy it. Mm. And maybe then you'll start annoying me a little bit more.
Well, that's a given. That's a given. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think one thing that I've seen shift in you, and I'm curious if you would agree with us and what your take would be, is that I feel like you just have less of a fear of scarcity. I don't know quite else how to say that, but like with money, for instance.
Yeah, I mean, because when you and I first met, it was a tough time professionally for me. I was struggling with unemployment, so I would say in some of the way our relationship played out was somewhat, maybe not defined, but it was impacted by that. And I am, while I'm certainly not in a huge place where, oh, money is no object, I have a little bit more resources than I had at those time. And I have to say, it does alleviate a lot of stress. I don't need a lot. I'm pretty frugal. And so I'm not saying I have a lot, but it's just enough that it takes away that real edge of just having it be front and center so often.
Yeah.
And I have three children and they're all married at this point, but you know, it gives me a little bit of a relief that maybe I can also feel comfortable enough if I want to kind of treat them with things. I have more of that ability, which is a big thing. I really enjoy it. So
how much do you think that shift is due to just a shift in circumstances versus a shift in your mindset about money?
I think it's the circumstances.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I do. Because I just think I don't know that I've changed my opinion about money. As I said, I'm pretty frugal. I've lived life like that and I haven't changed that. It's just being able to treat myself and whatever. So I don't know that I've changed my attitude toward money so much as it's just, I'm lucky enough that it's a little bit better than it was before. Mm-hmm. Than before. You know, coming and I'm further down the road. So when I look at my shelf life, it's like, okay, you know, there, I mean, I'm over a lot of the costs that confront young adults and then middle-aged adults in terms of raising families and purchasing homes, et cetera, et cetera. So I guess that's in there too. Mm-hmm. It's just me. I think, yeah, see, that's it. We finally, I circled around it enough and I finally pinned it down. Okay. I'm only impacting myself in terms of having or not having enough financial resources.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It does. It is. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So that is, yeah, I guess that is a little bit of a different attitude. So you got me. Yeah.
I'm not sure how I would answer that question myself, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, my circumstances have changed as well. We're both in a much more financially stable situation than we were when we were last friends. But I think there's a part of me that's just allowed me to trust that everything will work out. I used to really stress about something bad happening and me draining my savings. And, you know, I mean, part of this is just because I've been incredibly fortunate in my life that every time that I felt like I was getting down to the wire, something unexpected would happen for the better. And I had done all of that worrying for nothing.
Yeah.
And so I've just kind of been thinking about that for myself. It's a question I want to work on going forward. You know, it's like, I don't want to totally lose my worry because anything could happen and I don't want to be stupid about it. But at the same time, when you live your life worrying, spending so much. Yeah. Sometimes the anxiety is much worse than the actual.
Yeah, it is. Event. And that's what I was going to say, because it's kind of similar to what we've been talking about throughout this conversation right now in terms of health, in terms of money. And I think as you move through life and you are faced with circumstances that are challenging and you can overcome them, then it allows you to let go of some of that worry because you've realized it really doesn't help to just have worry be so prominent in your head, because you probably will be able to figure it out. Maybe not in the best way you'd like, but you will. And you're also gathering more skill sets for yourself, and you're gathering more people in your life that you may feel can also help or not.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but that's kind of where my head just went when you were talking about it. It's essentially learning as you go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why they kind of do say wisdom comes with age. It kind of does. I'm not saying all us senior citizens are wise as anything, but yeah, there's a certain, just experience does it for you. It's not age, it's experience.
Well, for whatever it's worth, I think we're both better people and mm-hmm. we're definitely still going to mess up. So hope it's at least a good story as we mess up through the future.
Yeah. And as we've said before, it's just learning that even the messing up part has kind of hidden value to it.
Yeah. Well, this is take three of our first episode. Mm-hmm. And we had some audio issues. We had a few things that we didn't love, but there's, in my humble opinion, some really good stuff in there.
Yeah. And hopefully as we move along, we will get, I hate to say improve. I don't know. We'll learn, and then we'll translate that into enhancing the podcast.
Well, I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
All right. Until next time.
Okay. Bye, Elizabeth.
Bye.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. Note that, notwithstanding that any of the guests on this podcast may be licensed professionals, no one on this podcast is providing or seeking to provide the listeners of this podcast with any medical or health services. You should not rely on the information or content presented during this podcast, and you should not make any health or medical related decision based in whole or in part on such information. Consult a healthcare professional licensed in your state for all matters relating to your health, and do not disregard any medical advice, diagnosis, and/or treatment provided by your healthcare professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests, and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of people involved.